Thank you. What kind of welcome is that? Are you serious? I thought I was in South Carolina. Praise God. Welcome tonight. Great to be together. Yes. Welcome tonight. Great to be together. Put your, thanks, team. You want to keep, put your hands together for these guys? Bless them. Amen. Great. Grab a seat. Thank you once again for... Hey, we've had a good day. Isn't Hobart healthy? Serious, man. We went around the city yesterday, and I'm thinking there's people everywhere, there's new shops, there's buildings, there's UTAS, the giant, the beast of UTAS. It is incredible, isn't it? We had a great UTAS building coming up in right in Burnie, in the right near the centre, and it's going to be great. Yeah, is there something we can? Can we just get rid of? Take me out of the fold back, if we can, it'd be great. And we're excited about what's happening in Burnie. And God's been so good to us. And I'm so thankful to drive around Hobart and go, you know what, it's the same God in Hobart. Yeah. Yeah. I'm thinking, phew, I didn't know. But no, it's been great. I want to say thank you to Dave and Alex, who are separated tonight. And we... You weren't listening this morning. So thank you to the leadership of the church. And we had a good time this morning. I was really encouraged and blessed by, you know, the passion and the response in people's hearts is awesome. And so praise God for that. Why don't we pray? Jesus, we are excited about what you can do in a moment of time in our lives. Lord, and right in this moment, we thank you that, Lord, not only do you promise to never leave us nor forsake us, but, Lord God, as we would draw near to you, you said you will come up close. And so, Lord, we say come up close tonight. Come up close to us as we draw near to you in worship and we come around your word. Help us to engage. Help us to hear your voice. Help us to be encouraged and strengthened. Help us to be further equipped, Lord God, to be effective for the kingdom of God. Amen? Help us to be more equipped to fall in love with Jesus more and more. Fall in love with the wonderful Holy Spirit more and more. Fall in love with the local church. Can you say amen? More and more and more. Help us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen? I'd like to pray for somebody who's been getting migraines, headaches and so on that you've been getting for a while. That's you. Would you like to come out? You too, great. Would you like to come out quickly? And we're going to pray. Just in the worship, I just thought, can't put this thing down. I thought, well, I'm not going to have the migraine, so we better deal with it and ask Jesus to come. Would you reach out? And maybe Heather, if you could come, my wife. Please put your hands together for my wife. She's a beautiful lady. Is there anyone else that's been suffering with just chronic, ongoing headaches? Great. Good. We've got four. Can we have five? We've got five. No. Okay, we've got four people here. Anyone here ever had a really severe headache? Three people. Okay, we've all had severe headaches. Do you remember that moment? Do you remember that time, that hour, that day, that 48 hours? It is horrendous. And so whenever I have trouble really trying to feel and really... you know, sort of stir a bit of compassion for people. I put myself right there and I think, oh, I know that. I've felt that. So would you just for a moment pretend that it's you and you'd love somebody to sincerely and compassionately pray for you. Amen? We're going to pray. You ready?
Yeah.
Reach out with your nose or your hands or your feet, whatever it is, but let's reach out and believe God that this will never, ever happen again. Amen? Jesus went to the cross and he said, it is finished. And that was migraines and headaches and sin and the trash that would try to hold on to our world and every destructive thing. He was speaking to us and he said, all that is finished. So, in the Father, in the name of Jesus, we lay hands on these precious ladies and we believe it is finished. I need you to say amen. Come on. It is finished. Migraines, headaches, stress. Whatever they might be, headaches, whatever the root cause, we speak to it and we break its power in the name of Jesus. And we release these ladies and we release their shoulders and necks. And we release them right up here on the top, right through down to their shoulders in the name of Jesus. Be healed and set free in Jesus' mighty name. And we command these things to never come back. Never, ever, ever come back. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Amen. Right now, its power is broken. Anyone here believe in the power of the Holy Spirit? I just think God, I think we're in a season where when we get serious with God, He's going to release the power of the Holy Spirit more and more and more through just simple people like us. He uses the simple things to confound the wise. Amen? Praise God. You doing good? What's your name?
Tennille.
Yes. Right. I was going to say the captain and Tennille. Yes. Okay, but that's a sort of a generational thing. Great. Tennille, just really feel that God's growing an educator out of you. He's building someone to educate and equip and empower people into the future. Now, I don't know whether you're doing that right now or whether you're not, but the reality of this is that God, this is your calling, girl. Never treat this like... You serious? Awesome. God has called you to equip and empower. Remember those draggy, dirgy days that go forever. Yep. Don't look at your watch. Look under Jesus. Because the power is going to come. When you're running out of you, you're running into Him. Amen?
Yep.
This is a calling, it's a destiny, it's a life purpose. Go, girl, go. Yeah. Become a professor. Go to the highest level you possibly can, because the higher you go, the more God's going to bring people. The further you push that gift, the more God's going to open doors for you. Incredible doors of education and empowering people. Not just information translate, but downloading into their world and into their life. Praise God for that. Amen? Good. Good. Would you open your Bibles up with me? Whatever your Bible looks like, mine's still paper. I know, it's weird, isn't it? It's to Luke chapter 17. And I want to look at a verse tonight that, you know, the second shortest verse in the Bible. And it simply says this: remember Lot's wife. Anyone remember Lot's wife? No, you don't. Luke chapter 17 and verse 32. Jesus is speaking here. Who knows that Jesus knows what He's talking about? Okay, anyone know that Jesus knows what He's talking about? Come on, I need you tonight. And Jesus is in the midst of answering a question about His return. And whether you believe it or not, the Bible teaches very clearly that Jesus came to the earth and He died on the cross. He rose from the dead. He ascended, went back to heaven, but He is coming back again and He's going to put His feet on the earth. And that's what the Bible tells us. And that is going to be one of the most exciting but terrible days that the earth has ever seen. It's going to be glorious. Amen? Jesus is coming back. The book of Thessalonians, at all points, anyone read the book of Thessalonians? At all points to encouraging one another that Jesus is coming back. Amen? And get ready. And I want to encourage you with this tonight, that Jesus is talking about His second coming and what will be happening prior to Him returning to the earth. Anyone interested in that? And so it's really incredible. It's incredible because Jesus refers to, He says, before I come back, who knows that we're living in the days before Jesus comes back? We are. It's exciting. What we're not saying tonight is that Jesus will be back tomorrow, so get your house in order. We're not saying, you know, it's on Wednesday. What I am saying is that we're living in the days prior to Jesus coming back. Make sense? And Jesus says, this is what it's going to be like in the days before I come back. It'll be like the days of Noah. Anyone heard of Noah? Noah's a sort of popular character, isn't it? But Jesus unpacks that and he says it'll be like the days of Noah. And in Noah's day, He said they were eating and drinking and getting married and doing life. And then a flood came, bam, and everything changed. And then He said, before I come back, it'll be like the days of Lot. Now, there's not a lot written about him, but there isn't a lot written about him. There's not. And all we know is that he is Abraham. Who's ever heard of Abraham? Father of faith. A whole lot written about Abraham, but there's not a lot written about Lot. So you sort of got to get your head around what was going on in the days of Lot. And so Jesus says, that's what it's going to be like in the days prior to me coming back. And then he says, remember Lot's wife. You think, was she really tall? You know, oh, wow, could she play basketball? You know, she was just amazing. She's one of the very rare women that beat Serena Williams. No, it wasn't any. It's none of those things. Was she very wealthy? Was she a real estate agent? Was she? Because why would Jesus say, remember her? Was there some sort of she drive? Maybe she drove Commodore V8. Are you a Commodore? Great. Well, I don't know what she did. But here's the thing. Jesus draws attention in the middle of talking about the days before he comes back. He draws the attention to a lady that there's only a very little bit written about her in Genesis chapter 19. And there's only just these three words written in the Gospels about Lot's wife. And Jesus says, this is what it's going to be like before I return. What happened in Genesis chapter 19 was this. Prior to 19, Lot and his wife are with Abraham. Now, Abraham is the big kahuna. He is the giant. He's a giant in the Old Testament. He's like, you know, everybody refers to Abraham. And so he's a man of God. He's got the God thing going on. He's a worshiper. He's doing sacrifices and so on. And Lot is living in this environment and in this atmosphere with his wife. And then one day, sort of things get heated between Lot's men and Abraham's men. And so they peel off, and Lot and his wife and family, they go to places, they go to the plains, it's called, where Sodom and Gomorrah are. And so they start out, and they start like this. They start out with Abraham, and there's faith everywhere, and there's miracles, and there's dynamic God stuff going on everywhere. And so they peel off from that environment and atmosphere, and they camp in the plains. And then they pick the camp up and they move a little bit closer to the city. And then they pick their camp up and they move a little bit closer to the city. And then they pick their camp up. Hey, listen, we should just move in. Let's just move in. So they move into the city. Into the city. And things get very, very dirty, wild, crazy in Sodom and Gomorrah. Lot's right there in the center. So the Bible says that this cry went up to heaven and God's been listening. And it's time for the whole Sodom and Gomorrah thing to come to a close. Jesus is using this as this is the days prior to me coming back. And he says, so Lot and his wife and his children and his relatives are all living in the city. And angels turn up and they say, Lot, get out of the city. Lot and his wife go, got a couple of calls to make. Haven't got 6 or 8 emails. Haven't done anything on Twitter all day. I'm sort of, you know, well, just hold on. The angel says, get out of the city. So, come on, it can't be that serious. Come on. We're just going to hang here for a bit. We're going to grab a coffee and do a few things. The angel says, get out of the city. He says, then his wife chips in. She says, come on, it's not that serious. Surely, you know, come on. We've got something going here. You want us to leave it all behind? Here's what happens. The angel, can I have your hand please, Dave? The angel takes Lot by the hand and his wife by the hand and he runs them out of the city. They're pulling back saying, hang on a minute, this can't be as serious as you think. Come on, get over it. And he says, I'm really serious. And he says, we're going to destroy the city in a couple of minutes, but I can't do any of that until you get out of here. And he says, go to the mountains. You ready? Lot says, are you serious? Do we really have to go to the mountains? I mean, there's heaps of other places that'd be far better. Why don't we just do that? Are you getting the picture? Jesus says, this is what's going to happen in the days before I return. I'm going to come and power. I'm going to come and amazing signs and wonders. I'm going to do great things. And people, a certain, an attitude is going to grow up that says, are you serious? Oh, come on. We've got plenty of time. It's all right. Relax. Let's have a coffee. Let's take our time. And there's this urgency about getting Lot out of the city, and he's pulling against it. There's this urgency, I believe, that's gripping us right now about the call of God, the purpose of God, the destiny of God that is on our world. And I don't want to fit, and I don't know about you, but I don't want to fit into the category of Lot's wife. Because Jesus said, in the last days, that's what it'll look like. And you think, Jesus, are you serious? Or, yes, sir, where to from here? What's next, Lord? I'm ready. I'm reporting for duty. Amen? Anyone see the difference in those two attitudes and opinions? Jesus says, remember Lot's wife. What was it about Lot's wife? Well, we know the Bible says the angel said to her, do not look back to the city. So they get a little bit out, and of course she says, it can't be that bad. And she looks back, turns into a pillar of salt. I want to encourage you that right there, all that God had planned for Lot's wife came to a close. It was cut short, cut off, came to a close. This is making sense to you? There's a couple of things that I think are really, really important here. And I want to encourage you this, that we can get in a position and a place where, like Lot's wife, her heart and her faith and her passions had gone from being with Abraham, the great man of God, and all of God's stuff going on, and man, we're living in the blessing, and God's pouring out, to a place where she says, I don't know whether I really believe that I need to do what God said. My heart and my faith and my passion is now invested here. She invested her passion, her heart, her hunger, her thirst. She invested it in something that had no future. And I want to encourage you that she is not on her own. Come on. Jesus said, in the days before I come back, there'll be people that have known the power of God. There are people that have walked in faith and seen signs and wonders and miracles. They've seen the glory of God. They've worshipped with all their hearts. They've served God. They've loved God. And all of a sudden, they've transferred their passions, their hunger, their thirst, their faith to the surroundings and the things that, well, this is what matters most to us now. Is this making sense? And you think, oh man, this is not very fun. This is not a fun message. It's a real message. Her heart was now connected to the surroundings and the lifestyle. You know what? There's nothing wrong with enjoying life and enjoying, you know, five-star accommodation. And there's nothing wrong with driving a V8 Commodore. I mean, it's healthy for you to do that. And it's nothing wrong with some of it, but the fact that she could not move, even at the word of God, five times they were spoken to and she would not move. And I don't know about you, but I don't want that to be my life. I don't want that to be my attitude. I want God to whisper once and I'm ready and I'm up on my toes and I'm ready to go. And I want the same for you. Amen? Secondly, this happened. She had no idea of the consequences of her decisions. We have to understand that every decision and choice that we make matters to heaven. Heaven is responding and moving and shaking and ready to move at our decisions and choices. Anyone ever read Deuteronomy chapter 30? Moses says to the people, he says, I put before you today death and cursing, life and blessing. You ready? And he said, and you choose. You know what? We are who we choose to be. I'm not the result of my parents' fault or what my uncle did or didn't do I'm the result of the cross of Calvary and the resurrection from the dead of Jesus Christ. And I can choose to be that person or this person. I can choose to be that. We looked at it a bit this morning. The critical, the judgmental, the who do I blame? Or I can say, thank you, Jesus, you went to the cross and set me free. Amen. I am who I choose to be. Moses says in Deuteronomy 30, I put before you, there's a choice for you today, life and blessing or death and cursing. And he said this, I would have that you choose life and blessing. Are you ready? That you and your descendants will be impacted by that decision.
Yeah, that's
good. Amen? Every decision I make is affecting Heather. Every decision we make is affecting our children. It's affecting our granddaughter. It's affecting our church. One decision away from disaster. And this church, and our church could just go down the toilet in reputation in Burnie. We're doing everything we can to build reputation, build into the community, touch people's lives. But you know what? They're watching the church to see what kind of decisions and choices they make. Amen? I'm not going to say, whoa, get all spooked about this. I'm just saying, make responsible decisions. God's created us to be great people who can make great decisions. Amen? God says to Moses, or Moses says to the people, that you and your descendants will live. Joshua chapter 24, around about verse 15, he says, Joshua says to the people, if you think it's evil to serve God, then you go do something else. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. As for me and my people, my church, my family, my oikos is a Greek word, my surroundings, my world, as for me and my people in my world, we're going to serve the Lord. It's another decision, isn't it? Amen? Am I making sense to you?
Yes.
Our decisions are crucial. She had no idea of the consequences of her decision. It wasn't like she made one mistake and God zapped her. We're not talking about that kind of, we're serving a loving God. And he says, get out of the city, one. Says, get out of the city, two. Says, get out of the city, three. Says, get out of the city, taking her by the hand. This is a 40-foot angel. I don't know about you, but I'd have been shaking in my boots. I'd have been running at the first command, yes or no? And he takes them by the hand, and he's running them out of the city, and he says, don't look back. She says, well, who are you to tell me what to do? She turns into a pillar of salt. Her life is cut off. All the gifts, all the talents, all the experience, all the help she could have brought to the people around her is there cut off. Her husband is a disaster without her. Somebody say amen. Amen. I know another guy that would be a disaster without his wife. I'm telling you. I love my wife, and she's just amazing ministry in my world and my life. I'm so thankful for her. She has no idea that right there and then, a marriage that could have made a difference, bam, it's gone. Her life, gone. And then her daughters are left unprotected and become the victims of crime and incest. And the nations that came from those children are still hacking at the earth thousands and thousands and thousands of years later. You and I, and a lot of the information we get internationally is impacted and affected by the children that came from those girls. The Amorites and so on. And the Moabites. And you think, oh, well, we don't know any Amorites. There's none in our street. One of the root systems of our terrorism and all some of the trash that we're fighting today against humanity has come from that one decision from one woman. Is it making sense? Come out of the city. No. Come out of the city. No. Come out of the city. No. Come out of the city. I've got you by the hand. I'm 40 foot and I'm about to release lightning bolts. No. Don't look back. No. Jesus said, this is how it'll be before I come back. If you enter Matthew chapter 15, it gets better. You ready? In Matthew chapter 15, there's a woman called the Canaanite woman. And the Canaanite woman comes to Jesus and she says to Jesus, my daughter, she's got a daughter as well. And she says, my daughter, the next my life and the next generation, we are severely bound up. My daughter has a demon and she's severely binding and oppressing her life. And she comes to Jesus and says, Jesus, heal my daughter Nothing happens. Nobody says anything. Everybody ignores her. Figured, this is good ministry. The Bible says she came and she said, Lord. She worshipped him. And she says, Lord, we need you. Have mercy on us. Jesus says, I can't, I don't do that. I came for another people and all this stuff. And I'm not going to go into that. But she just says, that may be true, but I know who you are. I know you're the Son of God. Even the dogs eat crumbs that fall from their master's table. Now, come on. Heal my girl. Set this family free. Do you see the difference between one lady with the daughters and the other lady with the daughters? And I tell you what, I want to encourage you. You and I can be this Canaanite lady. You can come and you can worship and you can fall at his feet and fall in love with him and enjoy him and have him touch and heal and deliver and set you free and have the generations and the families around you completely set free by the power and authority of the name of Jesus. She knew that Jesus couldn't, she knew that he had to heal her. She knew that she could press in and move in faith. One woman's faith was in her surroundings and things that had got, looking good around life. And the other woman's faith was in the power of the name of Jesus. Two completely different lifestyles and two completely different outcomes. And Jesus looked at her in front of all the crowd and said, woman, great faith. Wow. We ignored you. We pushed you away. We tried you. And you fell and you worshipped and you leaned in and you believed that I was the healer. Great faith. And that says that hour her daughter was set free. Two different, completely different outcomes. We're still preaching this girl. We're preaching the Canaanite woman tonight. Amen? Great faith. Jesus said, remember Lot's wife. Now, I want to encourage you that God's word is filled with promises, teaching, blessing, and warning. If I said, oh, Dave, I just love you, man. You're just my closest buddy. We're besties. We love doing stuff together. We're enjoying life. It's great. We go outside and I can see a bomb attached to the bottom of Dave's car. I say, oh, man, I just love you. God bless. All the best. We might see you through the week. Dave gets half in and says, Alex says, what was going on? I said, oh, yeah, I saw that bomb there, but I just didn't think I should say anything. Yeah. She's not, that's not her laughing, it's my wife. Is this making sense to you right now? God loves us so much that there are some things that he has to say. And anyone here growing up think, I really didn't like broccoli on my plate? African artichoke. There are some things on your plate that you don't like, but I want to encourage you. Some of those things are very good for us. Yeah. And they're hard to digest, and it sticks in your mouth, and you leave it till it's cold and it won't go down. Anyone ever done that? Only me. Okay. But God, Jesus is telling us something here. Your life is so valuable and so important to the kingdom of God. Your faith and its rising, not its decline, is so necessary to the future of this church and this city. And the kingdom of God is dependent upon what God has downloaded into you. It's not about just elders and leaders and the big ones and the girl and the apostles and stop it. It's about every man, woman, and child investing and every joint supplying and everybody bringing their best to the table and everybody in a connect group. Sorry, that was a stutter. Everybody in a connect group. and everybody in Sunday services, and everybody signing up for a volunteer, everybody in a team, and everybody growing their faith, and everybody releasing their gifts, and everybody passionate and hungry and thirsty for Jesus. That's what the kingdom of God is about. So it's either Lot's wife or the Canaanite woman. I want you to make a choice tonight. I want you to settle this issue deep down inside that my life is so important and so valuable. I'm not on the music team. Glory, neither am I. I was for a short time and then they wised up. I had a role to play. It was a short one, but it was a role to play. And then God started doing something else. So what are you doing now, Lord? I'm doing this. Okay, you know what? All the journey and all the times and I doubted myself. Who's ever doubted themselves? Who's ever doubted your gifting, doubted your calling, doubted your abilities? Come on, be honest with me tonight. We doubt. All that time I doubted. I said, God, what do you want to do with me? I feel like a fruitcake. I feel like I'm just this, you know, I'm the odd one out. Yeah. But just kept joining teams and going to connect group. And growing my prayer life, studying the Word of God, and saying to the pastor, is there something I can do? How can I grow? How can I be effective? How can I be all that God has called me to be? Staying in Sunday services, and being in connect groups, and building my life, and investing the Word of God, and believing in the leadership that God had given me, and believing in the local church. Yes or no? And your faith and your life begins to go. And the decisions that you make, you realize, are so, so important. The lady, the Canaanite woman with a severely demon-possessed daughter, could have done this. You know, he knows my address. Obviously, if he's God, he'll see her. Amen. Right down there. I want to encourage you. He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Yes or no? God knows your address. But he wants to shorten the distance between you and him. He wants to bring us up close and personal. Everything's personal to Jesus. Everything. I hope I'm making sense tonight. Jesus warned us and said, this is what will come. And then he gives us an incredible example of a phenomenal woman that I salute. The women in the New Testament, unbelievable. Amen? Well, the guy said, come on. I tell you, I've learned more from the girls in the New Testament than I have from the guys. Amazing. I want to encourage you. I want you to make a decision tonight that I'm going to be hot and full. And when the leadership needs somebody, I'm going to put my hand up. When God's looking for somebody, I'm going to put my hand up. When somebody needs praying for, I'm going to put my hand up. When there's a gap in a team somewhere, I'm going to put my hand up. I'm going to build this thing inside me, not allow it to get distracted and compromised. And leak my life out into the things that have no future. Yes or no? Yes. Someone like pianist to come back? Be good, please. Thank you, pianist. Would you stand with me? Please. Who's impressed by the Canaanite woman? She's an amazing woman. And the generation that came along behind her lived in total freedom. Because of the passion for Christ. How good is that? Moses said, I lay before you life and blessing, death and cursing. You and your descendants will live if you choose. I want you to choose passion. I want you to choose faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to choose be filled with the Spirit and power every day of your life. Amen? I was a bricky. But anyone know what that is? A bricky for sort of, it's almost a thing of the past. bricky for 24 years, 25 years. And I had all these mates and all this stuff that was going on. I had this, it was awesome. Loved it, enjoyed it. One day God said, just as business started to take off, we just believe the call of God was to, a pastor said to us, "You want to take over the church? Would you leave the church?" And our business has just taken off. Things are going like a rocket. Right there and then, my wife and I had to sit down and we fasted and we prayed. We said, "God, what do you want us to do? Businesses, God, have you noticed that business has just taken off?" And God said, "I'm going to bless you financially. I'm going to take care of all that. I need your heart and your passion and your best." Amen. Yeah.